Turn with me this morning to the 138th Psalm. You read this again this week, and so often we read through portions of scripture and we do it so quickly it doesn't have much meaning, but if we sit down and contemplate what it really has said, it takes on a whole different picture. Most often the psalmist in the 138th Psalm said, "I will praise thee with my whole heart." Not double-minded, but with his whole heart. Apply the whole heart to that and lay everything else aside. He said, "Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee." This is a pretty amazing statement here if you think about it. Before everything that is high, everything that presents itself as God, all the rulers, the princes, the angels, all is whom God will testify to of himself. It's an amazing thing that I looked this word gods up here as how it was used, and it is Elohim. And then when I looked that up, it speaks of the angels, sometimes the kings, sometimes. So I applied that way. Every high thing, God is above that. He is to be praised because he is above that. He's the head of all things. That's kind of hard for us to grasp sometimes, isn't it? We're coming down here this morning, Betty was talking about our hospital situation and our doctors and all that. It is kind of troublesome, but I got thinking, oh, well, it's the way the Lord has put it. That's what has happened. And that we just got to trust that all that's going to work out to our good. And that's the way with this. We praise him because he does rule above everything else. Like I say, sometimes kind of hard for us to grasp in this old body that we live in, that we're always struggling against, that we're always having to correct, and the Lord's always having to correct so that we keep it straight. Verse 2, then he said, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast manifested thy word above all thy name," above everything else that could be imagined. "But in this also he has magnified it in the Lord Jesus Christ." That is the end of the whole subject. He has magnified it to that extent. Then I got thinking on this, "I will worship toward thy holy temple." And then I began to think the Lord, even from the very beginning, never intended for man to worship any worldly thing. But it was always toward his temple, where he had pleased to place his name, where the people were to come to the holy temple. We're no less today. need to come to the Holy Temple. The temple itself never spoke of anything earthly. The testimony that it had never was of anything earthly. Although it had earthly things, the temple itself, the tabernacle, really he's talking here back to the tabernacle days when it was put together, assembled, and the whole thing was representative of a holy God. Can't enter in unclean into the, even into the outer part, let alone into the inner place of the most holy. But it had all these items of worship. It had the curtain that separated from God and man. And then inside that curtain was the Ark of the Covenant, Aaron's rod that budded, the covenant itself. On top of that, the mercy seat. And that's what he's talking about here in this psalm, is the mercies of God. That's the reason he's extolling his praise toward God. Here's the mercy seat, but above that even are the cherubim or the angels that I just spoke of. Elohim, the angels, ascending and descending upon the worship services and establishing that testimony before man that God is worthy of all worship. Magnified, more glorious. That's what that means, is the total glory is in him. That the scripture speaks of that tabernacle as being so glorious. But it itself was magnifying the glory of God himself and his Son. That's where mercy was found, wasn't it? It magnified him because he carries out his promise. It's sure. And it is magnified in the person of Jesus Christ. Magnified thy word above all things. I thought in this also, this magnification of the Lord, it calls for worship. Worship toward the holy temple. But what is the meaning of that for us today? Same thing. Worship toward the holy temple. We're told, as they were, to call a solemn assembly. No joking playing in that. It's the most reverent and holy place, a holy temple. And we're called out to serve in the congregation. Men tell you today, well, we can serve the Lord wherever we get ready. We can do as we please. We wouldn't even go serve him out on the lake fishing or at the golf course or whatever. You know, but no, it's not so. There's a certain humbleness about this that can be found nowhere but in the assembly of God. Call a solemn assembly. Why? So you can show them the holy things of God. Read unto them the whole lot. Don't leave anything out. But it, because it's all to magnify our God. In the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, we're told that in this assembly we can sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, the important only way we can sit in heavenly places. These things were always representative of heavenly things. Our scripture we have today speaks of heavenly. It's magnified more than it was in the old days when they just had these types and shadows and things. We have a more sure word of prophecy today. We more fully see, are able to see by the power of the Holy Ghost, things that are heavenly. Man be in Christ Jesus where he can sit in heavenly places. In the heavenly. He can get a hold of heaven itself. Far too often, we and them look at things in a worldly sense and not in a heavenly sense. Several times, Jesus Christ was accused of doing something on the Sabbath day. He said, well, he's got 6 days to do those things. What were they looking at? On the physical, worldly side of their worship and not on the heavenly side. What Jesus Christ was doing was heavenly things, not earthly things. Grace is not found in earthly things, but grace is found in heavenly things. In all those things that were given to the people of old when Moses gave the law, all those types and symbols that were given to him to give to the people were all pictures of the heavenly and not the earthly. But where are we going to find that? In the assembly. In the worship. We worship together. We're a people called out. A people of God. To form an assembly. Bring the whole house together. All the living stones together in one place that we might truly worship God. That way we sit in heavenly places. Isn't it good when the Lord shows you something that is heavenly and you hadn't seen it before? It's a newness of life even. It's something new. It's something good. It's something important. It's something that takes dominion over earthly things. But we always got a problem with earthly things. Verse 4 said, and all the kings of the earth shall praise thee. I think this is a look to the future from where it was here, that the word's going to go out and be spread throughout the whole world. And they're going to, those that understand, those that have knowledge by the power of the Holy Ghost are going to do these things. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, which he is, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. Where do you fit? Where do we fit? Not in the high and mighty. We sit in heavenly places, all right, in Christ Jesus, but we don't sit in the high and mighty places, but with the lowly of heart. But the proud he knoweth afar off, and never are drawn close. There's no closeness there. There's no union there. It's only enmity there. They're never brought close. The proud he knoweth afar off. Book of James, the 4th chapter. These things we know. Verse 5, he said, do you think that the scripture saith, in vain the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble, and the humble shall be exalted. What? It goes back that same thing, doesn't it? Sit in heavenly places. How are you going to rise above that outside of being humble? Lord resists proud. Psalms 113. I guess verse 4, we heard this a while ago. Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, down sackcloth and ashes, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princesses, where? Even with the princes of his people. There we go back to that same thought of assembly. They're gathered together, sit together. What is sitting? Resting in the Lord. Sit in heavenly places. He set him. That's even stronger here, because the Lord hath done. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. So there's always in the worship and in the assembly, there always is a must to be humble and look on heavenly things, because they're so far above us. What will humble you? These heavenly things. If we look into them, that is the thing that will humble us to where we can duly worship the Lord our God in truth and in spirit, looking towards his holy temple, where he has been pleased to place his name. So we're always looking above. That's where he is. All these things that he had given the people were simply a picture of those heavenly things that we still look to. Angels desired to look into these things, but we've been a most blessed people that we have been given the Word of God that we might see some of these heavenly things.
Oftentimes here, people quote out of Isaiah 64, where it says there, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And it is a good scripture, but it's an Old Testament scripture, and the fullness of it is presented in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when the Apostle Paul quotes Isaiah 64 verse 4, but Paul goes on to say, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." It may not have appeared, and it did not appear, as J.T. said a while ago, angels desire to look into these things. As Peter says, that those Old Testament writers have desired to look into these things. And those things which they spake by the Spirit, they spake them unto us, for us. But God hath revealed them unto us. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So we do, especially today, God hath given us a blessing that he withheld from even people like David. Sometimes that's kind of hard for me to wrap my mind around. And sometimes I tell you, I honestly wonder, do I behold the glory of God more than David? Who wrote so many of the Psalms that are so glorious and precious to us? And I am afraid that for many, many that profess to know the Lord today through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, have fallen way short of that knowledge and that glory and the wonderment of it, the blessedness of it. Care little for it. But oh, I pray that that would not be so for you and for me, and that more and more as we assemble. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Again, that assembly, because we do edify one another. It's not one person or one member of the body. It's all the members of the body. We're thankful for all of this and thankful again, yes. That is some wonderful thoughts that JT has brought forth out of those first couple of verses there in that 138th Psalm. Praise God for it.